Live. 938 Live gets you talking. 938 Live gets you talking with The Breakfast Club.
Now, so many of us take water for granted, and until the time we don't have water, can you imagine today is Chinese New Year's Eve, and if we didn't have water running through our taps, geez, we'd all be in a panicked state.
We would be.
Well, anyway, Lian Aid has a vision to offer the gift of hope that is to make clean water and proper sanitation more accessible and affordable for communities in need in Asia. That's another thing we take for granted, sanitation.
Absolutely. And you know, these people live so close to us.
Exactly.
It's in Asia. We're not talking about a far-flung country where you can't even visualize what it looks like. But here, the countries that I mentioned, you can. Many of us have been to these countries.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, well, in the studio, we're going to be talking to Aisha Abdul Rahman. She's here. She's Lian Aid's project manager. Thanks for coming in this morning, Aisha.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, now, give us an idea what the water situation is like, and tell us how Lian Aid has made progress in maybe, you know, closing the gap and solving some problems, a water crisis maybe, even in 2013, I believe.
Okay, so on a whole, globally, it is still quite a big problem. Lack of access to clean water. So if you talk about it on a global scale, we're talking about 780 million people who still lack access to a proper water source.
780 million, yeah, that's almost a billion people.
It's almost a billion people. So then if you cut that down to Asia itself, in Asia that's about half of that. So we're talking about 446 million people.
It's huge.
Massive, and it is a problem that needs to be tackled quite severely. You were right when you said that, you know, these communities are not far away.
Absolutely.
So this is one thing that we realized when we traveled onto the project sites. I mean, you're talking about 2-hour flight away is Cambodia. So that's Phnom Penh. And then all you need to do is to drive out, say, 2 hours out of the city center, and then you already have communities who spend a lot more time, a lot more effort than they actually should to get clean water into their homes. So this is something that is still needs to be addressed.
You've actually been to the ground.
Yeah, we have actually been to the ground.
And what kind of conditions have you seen and you can share with us?
Well, I think one of the strongest memories that I have is the floating villages in Cambodia. So these are about 2 hours drive away from Phnom Penh, and I need to take a boat as well.
When you say floating village, they're all on boats?
Yeah, so that they're not on boats. So they're actually floating homes.
Oh, okay.
On platforms in the water.
You flip these big ceramic jars, and these ceramic jars actually contain a fair bit of air. So this makes the whole house float. So the house is actually made from wood and with aluminium roofs sometimes, or usually just wood. So what happens is it's seasonal, so they actually shift together. So the homes are actually tied together. It's actually quite nice to see.
That's quite cute.
So, you know, families usually stay together and the homes float where the river takes them.
It's a bit precarious there.
A bit precarious, but most of them are fishermen, so that works for them. So anyway, their houses don't have proper sanitation facilities, that's one. So if you go and speak with the beneficiaries, it's just a hole in the ground. A hole in the ground means a hole into the river.
Right.
So what they do is they go there and then defecate. And they understand to a certain degree that whatever goes in will eventually be what they drink.
Yeah.
Because,
or what they eat, for that matter.
Or what they eat, exactly. Or what they use to wash or bathe. So this is something that they actually understand, but yeah, it's something that they cannot avoid.
There is this quote that I see from this lady. She said, "When I drink the water, I have to shut my eyes."
Yeah, exactly.
She's a 25-year-old fisherwoman.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that is scary.
It is quite scary.
Yeah.
But so one thing that it is that there are many ways to treat water. I mean, you can boil it. Or even then, so it's not the best. But I mean, you can boil it or you can use certain chemicals to treat it. But then you're talking about people in the middle of a floating village. And they have to spend a lot more time to actually go fishing. And they make maybe like $1 to $2 a day.
Money.
So a lot of the time that they need to spend actually boiling water or actually collecting water is not feasible for them, because they need to think about, okay, I still need to go out, I still need to fish, and at the same time, you know, what can I actually sacrifice?
So it's making a living and yet needing to get the basic needs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So and this brings to mind, you know that saying that when we were young, weren't you taught water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink?
No, absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah. Right? Yeah. You're living on the water, you're yes. surrounded by water, mm. but you can use none of it.
That's right.
And you're right. There's nowhere else for them to do what they need to do except yeah. where they live, and they yeah. live on the water.
Yeah. So conceptually, there's this thing that they say that, oh, the toilet is usually at the back, but then they would just drink the water in front. But, I mean, we all know that, you know, that wow. really isn't yes. how it works.
You're shivering.
I am, Susan. I'm sorry. But, you know, I do it feel is. Very sad.
Yeah, no, obviously. Mm. I mean, this is a reality, I think, that yeah. we all really need to face. Mm. And, I mean, today, talking about this and what Lian Aid does for these communities in Cambodia, we understand, mm-hmm. China and Vietnam.
Mm.
And are these just the main countries in Southeast Asia or in Asia that we're looking at?
Yeah, these are the main countries that we're looking at, China, Cambodia, Vietnam. Now, all these three countries face different problems. So in Cambodia and Vietnam, it's more or less, I mean, it's quite similar in the sense that, one, they actually do have water, but the water is dirty. A lot of the rivers are dirty, and these are what most of the rural communities, so that's what we focus on, rural communities actually use to get their water source. So they have contaminated water sources, for example, water which has high levels of arsenic. So what happens here is that if you drink it, you don't see the effects. So it's a silent killer, so to speak.
Yes.
You just keep drinking it, and then if you drink it to a point where it's too much in your body, you will get, you can get cancer, or
yes,
you can get skin lesions, or yeah. Mm. It is a carcinogenic, so that's what happens. Or in Vietnam, it's high saline content. Mm. So you think, oh, you know, in the sea, it's good. But then if you drink water which is too salty,
yes.
it's also not good for your body.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in Cambodia and Vietnam, it's more so like that. Like what you say, water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. In China, it's something different. In China, a lot of the poor rural communities that we work with live in mountainous areas. They live in areas which is far away from cities,
yes.
and just to get drinking water is so hard because the water source is so far away. So we are
it's
talking
weird,
about,
you know. We have these thoughts that, you know, up in the mountains you should
there'll
have
be lots of water,
snow, and that's water and
yes.
all that. But there are communities there with no water
no,
at all.
Yeah, because the water is there, but it's so hard to access.
Right.
So
yeah.
they spend like 2 hours walking uphill, and they can only bring down as much water as they can carry.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah.
look, there's so many communities. How did the Lian Foundation yeah. identify the communities to help? I mean, there's so many people to help. You have to make a decision, right? I mean, you also have limited resources, we understand.
Yeah. Okay, so I can bring out an example in China. So I think this is quite unique, a unique program that we have in China. We work with what you call village management trainees. So what happens is, you're right, for example, in a country like China, it's so vast. So how
yeah.
do you know where are these communities? How do you know? Mm. Especially since, you know, our colleagues are in Beijing and we are in Singapore. It's not that easy. So what happened is that we tap on a mechanism that is already there. So what happened is that there are young local government officials, fresh from university, who actually apply to be part of this program.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, as in a program in China.
As in volunteers?
No, it's like a position.
Okay, all right.
So what they do is they actually live in these provinces, and their task is actually poverty alleviation.
Oh, okay.
And this is by the Chinese authorities, basically. So we tap on that we train them, we show them about water and sanitation issues, we train them on project management, and they submit proposals, and we take a look at the proposals and see if the solutions that they're giving are sustainable, and if it's something that would be worth us seeding. So then these people actually live in those communities, so we are able to see locations that we would not have been able to see if we looked at it on our own. So that's the village management trainees.
So Lian Aid provides the funding for their training.
Yeah, I mean, we train them.
You
as
train
well.
Them.
Yeah, so we provide expertise, project management skills. I think one of the things that we found is that because we're a Singapore organization, a lot of things we do have been very systematic. Project scoping, project
Thankfully.
Assessment. So all these things.
We don't expect anything less.
No.
Yeah. So these are the things that we actually also bring down to them to ensure that at the end of the day, the outcome remains sustainable. sustainable is always like a huge buzzword, but all it just means is that you are always thinking, or you design a project so that it achieves a long-term impact.
Absolutely.
So that at the end of the day, when you leave the system, in our case, when Lian A leaves it, the whole thing will run on its own.
Yeah.
And that's what you want, really.
That's what we want,
exactly. Continuation there. Yeah. We're talking about clean water and proper sanitation and so many things that we take, both, well, simple things, but we take it so much for granted. Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Aisha Abdulrahman. She's Lian A's project manager. And when we come back, we're going to ask her a little bit about some of the key learning points that Lian Aid has learnt and continues to apply in its projects around the Asian area. Thanks very much for listening to Breakfast Club here on 938 Live.
938 Live gets you talking. 938 Live. 938 Live gets you talking. 938 Live gets you talking with the Breakfast Club.
And we're talking about water today,
yes.
Something that is so simple and yet so important. We don't give a second thought when we turn our taps on.
Not at all.
Water runs all the time, at least as long as I've been around in Singapore, and that's been a long time.
Yeah, so, we're about the same.
About the same, right? I think the only thing I kind of remember was in the old days we had to, when there was water rationing.
Yes,
do you remember our moms
pipes?
Had to go to the pipe. That was
I had. What do you mean, moms? Yeah. I had to do it as well.
Yeah, I was lucky, right? Dad did it.
Yes.
So, but in communities in Asia, as our guest Aisha Rahman from Lian Aid was telling us, just a 2-hour plane ride away, and then another 2-hour. Car ride away. You've got villages that sit on water and yet have no access to clean water. And these people do everything on the water. They live on it. They live around it, in it. They fish in it. So they're eating
and
drinking.
Drink from it.
From it without any thought, because there's no other way to do it. They don't know how to do it. But Lian Aid, you've gone in to, let's talk about Cambodia. We started talking about Cambodia. Mm-hmm. And you've gone in, you've identified these floating villages.
Mm-hmm.
How have you helped these people?
Okay, so for floating villages, one issue is that they don't have access to an affordable clean source of drinking water. So most of them actually drink directly from the river. If they have time, they will try to boil it, or they try to mix it with alum, which is a chemical substance. But usually they just drink from it directly. So what it is that what we do is we build community water enterprises. I actually find this quite unique, because for any organization, it's very simple, very easy for you to donate something. You can always donate a water treatment plant and then done. You know, you expect the people to be able to, oh, look, there is something that can treat your water. That's it. But what it is that we have found out is it's not that simple. So what we do is we build community water enterprises. It's actually a social enterprise. So we fund the water treatment plant. We bring in the local community. We train them on operations and maintenance, on business management, on marketing as well, so that the whole system is able to run on its own. So it's owned. Then we hand over the system. So it's owned by the community. The community actually sells the water to each other, basically.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Aisha, okay, we don't have much time left, but I just want to ask you before we go, what are some of the avenues that people can, choose to work with Lian Aid in possibly ending this water crisis?
Okay. So we continue scaling up this year. We need more potential partners. So potential partners, basically in terms of either funding or technical support, basically means more hands on deck would be important.
Right.
As an organization on our own, we can't do it like that. So it's always important for us to partner with people who have expertise.
And how can people reach you?
Yeah,
okay.
Volunteers,
so people,
for example.
Yeah, also volunteers. We're always looking for skilled volunteers. We have avenues for technical volunteers as well as media, comms, and anyone who is willing to help, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually reach us on our website. That's www.lianaid.org. There is a tab there that says Get Involved. So then you can contact me or my colleague, and we will get back to you on the opportunities available.
Right. So making clean water and proper sanitation accessible and affordable for communities in need in Asia. We've been talking to Aisha Abdulrahman. She is a Lian Aid's project manager. Thanks very much, Aisha, for joining us this
Thank
morning.
You.